Thanks for tuning to Digital Voices Podcast, where we chat digital transformation, challenges and opportunities across healthcare and life sciences. And now, your host, Ed Marks.
Hey, it's Ed. Welcome to Digital Voices. Very special episode because it's episode number 200. So I want to thank everyone for listening and following to enable us to get to 200. We drop one per week. So if I do the math correctly, it's about 4 years now. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We still remain, and since the beginning, commercial-free, ad-free, sponsor-free, just pure content. But what makes number 200 even more special is our guest is my firstborn son, Brandon Marks. Brandon, welcome to Digital Voices.
Well, hey, it's great to be here. Thank you for waiting 200 episodes to interview your firstborn son. I love the that's great to know. It's kind of growing up, same idea.
Well, we had to perfect everything before we had you on because you are a producer, like a classically trained, college-degreed producer type of person, professional. So we had to make sure we were smooth before we could have you. And it took a couple hundred episodes to get there. So thanks for your patience.
There you go. Well, yeah, that's great. And I'm excited to be here. I'm glad to hear your voice in this manner too. So apparently it's a big deal, this podcast. So it's a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, no, we're super psyched. And I know we'll get into your background quite a bit, but you are a media consultant, producer, and coach. You've got several things going on. You've been a long time producer working sort of in traditional jobs, but at the same time, also having your own directing academy and your own production company. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But the focus is sometimes on Digital Voices, we go outside of healthcare so that we can learn what other industries are doing and bring that back into healthcare to accelerate digital transformation. So, Brandon, when I think about when we first met, I think that was like 30 some years ago, maybe the first day that you entered the world is when we met in Alexandria, Virginia.
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy day. I remember meeting mom, but before that, I was hanging out with you. So yeah. It's been a long time.
Right. And I think there's a lot of bright lights and everything when we first met going on. So yeah, it was good times. That's when we first met. Now, obviously, as your father, it's been a joy and a privilege to be connected with you all these years since the time you were born. So let's jump into this. First question we always ask is, what's on your playlist? What do you like to listen to?
Well, I think it's a great question to get to know someone. I think for me, it just depends on the mood and the situation. So I have three kind of genres, and the one and the most important playlist I have is what I call staying awake while driving playlist. We do a lot of road trips up north with the family, and a lot of times it ends up going, to midnight or 2 a.m. And so I have a lot of funky music on that. I put in my AirPods and I play it extremely loud, so it almost feels like, it's blasting, but the kids are still asleep. And it's things like Fearless Flyers, Dirty Loops, like anything that's like a new funk fusion is really great. But then I'm also a major Swiftie. I love some Taylor Swift on the other side. And then really, I always come back down to worship music. It's really something that keeps me centered. So I listen to a lot of Cody Carnes and Gateway music. So kind of a variety there. Just depends on what I'm doing and how awake I need to stay.
Yeah. Are you still playing? I know you and your lovely wife, Nicole, sometimes create music, play music, do worship stuff. Are you guys still doing that?
Yeah, we love to play together. We have our wall of guitars, so a few guitars on the wall. And ever since having kids, we really want to get them involved too and just like being musical. And so nobody is classically trained, but a couple of our kids have shown like just really an acumen for music and ability to like to play pretty well, including our oldest, who is 11, Britton. You guys were kind enough to buy them a drum set for Christmas 1 year, and it's just constantly playing, which is great and bad. It's super loud, but it's one of those things where it's like, man, he's got rhythm and he was never trained. He just listens to music and can play things. And then, of course, there's always the time where all the kids want to play an instrument. So they each grab a bass, a drum set, the piano, and they don't know any note, and they just play it super loud and fun. So it's fun to hear those concerts where we have to kind of like hide that we're muffling the ears, but we love the that. But music is, yeah, it's a huge part of life, and I think that's something really important for everyone to either have an appreciation of, like yourself, or to be able to play and enjoy playing it as well. So
I like to pretend that I know.
You posed a few times with an instrument.
I'm definitely a poser with instruments. Always wish I had taken the time to learn, but I did Rock Band okay. So
yeah, I think you like got 5 stars or something like that. So
so Brandon, tell us a little bit about yourself. So we learned a little bit already. You have 4 kids. You're married, and you've got this great dad, great mom. So tell us about your story. How you got to where you are today?
Yeah, it was interesting. I was just reflecting on the past. I was born really, really young. And when I was born, I was unable to walk and talk, but through lots of parenting, you guys got me there, able to do that. No, it was really interesting growing up. I grew up in a home, as you know, that was very purpose-driven, results-oriented, strategic planning annually from the age of like 3, I think. So very, very much focused on the future and just self-development, which I think to a degree was really, really helpful and important. And so by the time I was 14, I had my first legitimate business. It was a vending machine business, which was really interesting. And the cool timing on that was, I think right before we closed that down, we were going to start a payphone branch. Yes. And that was right before cell phones became really mainstream. So kind of glad that one didn't work out, because we probably have a lot of phones in the garage. But what a cool experience that was. I mean, I'm thankful that you and mom had chosen to homeschool so that I could just be able to branch out and do things that matter for the future. So learned a lot having those. I've had 3 businesses. I was counting that before high school, before I graduated high school. So it's really cool to be able to understand that and to go through that process to learn a lot. I mean, everything from going to Sam's Club for inventory and them kicking me out because I'm 13, walking around by myself, to taking all stacks of single dollar bills to the bank to deposit. And then the teller asking me, "Are you a stripper?" And I'm like, it's like this 14-year-old kid is like, "I don't think so." Like, I didn't know what she was talking about. So, there's a lot that comes with all that. And so, and as you know, graduating high school with an associate's degree, I mean, just the forethought and the ability for parents to do the extra work to homeschool, to bring experiences to me, like, I'll be forever grateful for that. So we're trying the same thing. I mean, we're homeschooling the kids, like, in effort to really just provide time for them to develop like who they are and what they're going to do. So that was a good time. And then I went to Biola University, got my degree in film production, which was great as far as connections, as far as learning things. But really everything that I learned that really mattered towards the future was before that even happened. So while I was there, after I graduated, I realized I'd love to be able to afford a wife and a kids and a house larger than 250 square feet. So moved out of LA and back to Texas, married Nicole, who was, I mean, I guess I could say high school sweetheart, because she was pretty sweet and we were in high school. And then jumped back into career here, starting the family. Went back to corporate, working in corporate video production, which really it was a great experience to like understand a lot of corporate politics and democracy things that I was able to experience back in high school working at the hospital system as well. But really, it's one of those things that got back into what I was used to. And then I was able to land a job at a church that I was volunteering at Gateway Church. And that sparked a almost 15-year career in live video production, which is very different than my previous experience of things in the studio, of anything that was pre-recorded. It was all live. And that opened up a whole world of opportunities to then be able to work for like TED Talks and other live productions for major, a lot of pharmaceutical companies, which is really exciting because they always teach me words I've never heard of before and can't even pronounce. But it was a really great time to be able to like expand my business that I had as well from just studio to also live production. And at this point in juncture, I'm in between things, just working on like what's the next phase of the career. I think I've have a super well-rounded experience in there. I was also teaching at a local university during that time as well. So everything from academia to studio to live, I'm just excited to bring that all together and really push even further in launching, well, continuing to work with a business that I own as well with Pyro Productions, to just continue with that and really focus on just growing the clientele and really having more of a creative impact with those clients.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, we'll drop the links to your companies in the show notes if anyone is interested. So obviously I have a bias, but I've actually worked with you on a professional level many times. Yeah. And absolute best. So in terms of digital, when did the journey begin? I remember as a preteen, you were really into movies. Is that sort of when the fascination or the thought about, yeah, I want to leverage sort of digital, you probably didn't use those words back then, but digital, you know, in terms of making that a career?
Yeah, I think what started it for me was really, I was always the type when we were watching DVDs, when those came out, to be able to watch the behind the scenes. Like that was always just something that really intrigued me, because I was never someone to watch a movie and think that's really happening. It was always something to where my mind goes to like the engineering side of like, well, how did that happen? How was that created? And so that's something that I grew up really interested in. And then I got my first video camera. I think it was the best Christmas present I probably ever got. Probably not the most expensive or the most big of a deal, but for me, like it was a life changer when you guys had got me a camcorder for Christmas. And I remember like I had to buy all the tape for it, which was very pricey back then, of course. So thankfully that's changed a little bit, but I was able to buy a camera, and then it just started me on this deep love for it. And then what ended up happening is I was volunteering at university hospitals when you were working there. And it was a great time just serving. And all they knew about me was I was a computer nerd and homeschooled, which meant kind of smart with computers, but also had all the time in the world. So they asked me one day, really the only thing I knew about video was that I have a camera, but they asked me one day, they said, "Hey, can you create a thank you video for all of our volunteers? And we'll display that at the end of your celebration." And I was also a yes man, so I wasn't going to say no, even though I had no idea what this means or what that entails. And so I said yes, and that embarked on this amazing journey to where some of their local corporate video producers really took me under their wing and taught me how to create professional video content. So I was only, I think, 14 or so at the time, and I learned from some of the best in the area at that time. I'll never forget working with Don McClung and the team there, just showing me how to create something. So anyway, it was this is probably the worst video I've ever made, but at the time it was the first, right? So hopefully it's the worst. And I just remember putting it together in the editing room, and just that experience, like when I saw like the music come together with the stories that were being told. And then it made me emotional, like seeing how that came together. I was like, wow, this is really cool. But what really got me was when we played that video for all the volunteers. I think there was 200 or 300 people at the luncheon. Back in the day, this was on a special small tape. And so when we plugged it into the projection system, like it was glitching. And so it didn't play very well. It was very unprofessional because it was me making it for the first time. But after the video ended, there was not a dry eye in the room. Like everybody was emotional. They felt so thanked. And when I saw the way that like sight and sound comes together and can impact people, even on a really crazy version of what that was, I was just in love. And that's what got me to where I saw the impact that you can have, good and bad. But I saw the impact you can have and how it affected people. And so that's really where the journey started. And I've never looked back.
Wow. Yeah, that's an amazing story. And I know because I was at some of these venues when you were a volunteer at university hospitals and seeing other videos you had created that would bring people to tears in a good way. And yeah, it was very impactful. And then you became, I can't help doing this because I'm a dad, but you became volunteer of the year, and people were like, they didn't no longer cared about who I was. They were like, oh, you're you're lucky you're Brandon's dad. Are you Brandon's dad?
That's right.
So that was kind of cool. And then in fact, one of my deputies named their firstborn after you. That's pretty cool. That's a high honor right there.
That's cool.
So, wow. So much to talk about. The changes over the years. So you're not that old, but even in what, since you graduated 15 years ago, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I graduated in 2010 from college, but yeah.
A lot of changes in media formats. Where do you think we're headed?
Yeah, well, back to those days where I got the camcorder, I remember I would record a bunch of footage at like a family reunion or a vacation, but then I wanted to make it more concise so we could watch like 10 minutes instead of 10 hours. And so I remember taking the VHS machine at home, pushing record, playing from the camera through the VHS tape, doing a very linear editing process. So everything from that to when, so I'm not as old as it was back before the VHS era, but I mean, VHS was now like a lot of the youth these days, they don't even know what that means. But then we went to digital tape, which is kind of an oxymoron. And so that's where I really cut my teeth on. And then starting with nonlinear editors and I had customers that were requesting DVDs all the time. So that was an art in itself, creating DVDs. And then now everything is done with AI. So really I've seen the format change so much, and it's actually really exciting the direction we're going. And I think that's really the target of what's happening in video is AI and very immersive. The challenge is people either hate the concept of AI and they're scared of it taking their job, or they embrace it. And that's the side that I'm on, is like, man, AI is a really great start. But, and I say this now, but maybe in 30 years I would change this, I don't think AI can ever take the place of a human. So it's funny, we see, I saw this meme that said, like, for graphic designers, like, AI won't ever take your job because it has to know what the customer wants. And knowing what your client wants is an art in of itself, because you can tell me, hey, I would like to go out to dinner, but does that mean you'd like Chick-fil-A or a steakhouse, and how many forks are involved? Like, there's so many things that as a producer, you have to kind of bring out of the client. So AI can never truly take over in that sense, but it can help so much in the process leading up to the final product. So I think that and VR, AR, I mean, the Apple Vision Pro glasses just came out. So the immersive, all of that is going to be mainstream very, very soon. And as everyone else says, AI is the worst it's ever going to be. Like, it's only getting better and more powerful.
Yeah, that's a good point. So let's flip over into healthcare. Obviously, you have a unique point of view because not only are you educated and have all this experience that we talked about on the digital side, but you also had, I don't know, was it 3 or 4 years volunteering in a healthcare organization and getting pretty deep into it, even in college. Didn't you do a special, like a weekend program for a health system in San Diego? Didn't you get called up to do something?
Yeah, no, that's great. I think when it comes to healthcare, yeah, it's where I really started. Again, back to that story of my very first video, it was all surrounded by healthcare. My first job in video production was at a baby and children's hospital. And then I did the hospital out in San Diego for invasive MRSA. But it started before that. I mean, growing up, as you know, all of our vacations were at a HIMSS conference, and all of my Christmas presents were vendor gifts with their branding on it. So I get this box and it's got some vendor name on it, etched in it. And it's like, thank you. And I was like, oh, okay, well, it's a nice gift though. So, I mean, it's been a part of me since I think I was walking. So, but yeah, I think that digital in healthcare is critical. Digital is everything. And so I think just my experience there, I mean, digital video tells stories. And what, like, the most tangible way to tell a story, right? So if there is something complex, like anything in healthcare, to me, as someone who's not a clinician, is very complex. And the best way we can explain that to people is typically through visuals. If you send me a document or a book on a specific illness or issue, I probably won't read it thoroughly. But if there's an explainer video or something where there's a doctor that's talking into the camera telling me something about it, I'm much more apt to understand and have retention of that. So I don't even think that that's ubiquitous even 30 years ago, but I would say now, especially in the next generation, you know, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, everything is going to need to be explained in a visual way for them to comprehend, because that's what all of life is.
Yeah, and to your point on the Apple Vision device, and you know, there's going to be others that come out. I mean, it's sort of next level. We've had goggles of those sort for a while, but like you say, everything's just getting better from here. Yeah, you know, you could do a lot with that as well for the patient experience. You know, even in earlier models, we would put some of our pediatric patients and it would be immersive, like they're in the zoo. So while they're receiving chemo or maybe something more painful, they would be distracted. But I could see other use cases, right? How maybe as a surgeon explains a process, like I had a surgery a few years ago and I was really curious, and the physician explaining it didn't make much sense to me because I couldn't visualize it. So I just went on YouTube, you know, and looked it up. And it was very helpful. But I imagine now with goggles and stuff, you could be right there in a room with your surgeon actually looking at anatomy or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I think anything to make use of that, because what I've noticed in many industries, and I think healthcare included in the past, is all the technology on how people ingest and receive and learn things, sometimes those industries fall behind. So then... for example, I you know, had a teledoc appointment a couple months ago for a kid who was sick, and my camera was turned on, but the clinician's camera was turned off, and it was just kind of awkward to have like a one-way conversation, and they're like, hey, I don't know how to use this. You know, so something as simple as that to something as immersive as, like you said, the goggles for someone undergoing chemo or even end of life or hospice or just a convalescent home, someone to be able to like, imagine like a convalescent home, the patients aren't really doing much, and to be able to bring like an Elvis experience to them, like in 360. Yeah. I mean, hopefully we wouldn't like incite any cardiac arrest with something like that. But it's one of those things where I think that we could really make lives better by the way that we care for people. But even when it comes to a virtual visit, I know that technology is better now with our devices, to where you could have blood pressure monitors and things plugged in or via Bluetooth to your phone. So theoretically, you could have a virtual visit with like the vision goggles and be able to be like you're right next to a doctor, especially these days when people are less and less comfortable being face to face with someone. Obviously, there's always going to be procedures and things that need to be in person, but whatever can make healthcare have a greater reach and to bring it closer to people. And I have relatives who are octogenarians, and they have to go to appointments every single day for a couple months, and just the drive and getting out of the car and things like that, sometimes it's not necessary for them to actually be face to face if you could do something virtually. So I think the more that we focus on what's emerging with that, I think that's going to make a big difference in healthcare.
Yeah, it was a really good point you make about telemedicine, because it hasn't taken off as much as we thought it would, or hospital at home. And I think part of the reason might be the two dimension, but with the goggles, you might create this new experience that makes it, you know, feel more like you're actually together. So that's great. What would you recommend? So someone listening is in healthcare and they know about digital, obviously they're experiencing digital in their own way, but if they were looking for new ideas, like what might they do? What might you suggest that they do or begin to do or research, you know, just any sort of advice for someone listening that's like, oh, this brand guy is pretty cool. He's making a lot of good points. You know, where do I start?
I know for some, this might be difficult, but the whole social media world, that's where I learn the most and also spend the most time, not necessarily in a good way. A lot of times it's a time suck. But I kind of can see trends based on, you know, TikToks, Reels, learning things online to see really what the world is doing, what people are interested in. And I think that that also helps me stay, aware of what the technology changes are. So even as an example, I have never experienced personally like the immersive vision goggles, like Apple's product, but I have seen what people are doing. And the thought that came to mind was, like if you were someone who needed help remembering medications while you're wearing them, you could have a reminder set in one of your rooms that when you walk into it, it blinks and says, take your medication, you know, things like that. So things like that, that I would have never thought of personally until I saw it based on other people's posts. And so I think it's really important to be aware of what's going on. I think always developing yourself as any leader, every leader I know, every C-suite, every executive leader I know, they read what, like 100 books a year or something crazy like that. That's probably the one thing holding me back from that, because I don't read a lot of books. But I think that that's, you know, just staying aware of what the needs are currently. And that's really hard for a lot of people, because there's this idea of like, oh, I don't understand social media. And I don't think that everyone should try to be an influencer and that everyone needs to be posting all the time. But just to be aware, I've noticed that that's where most of the information is. And when anyone who's under 30, I would say these days, wants to research something, they don't do what I do. I would go to Google and try to figure it out. They will go to their Instagram or TikTok and do a search on a hashtag for something, you know, which is a different world for me even. But I'm learning to adapt to that and realize, like, if that's where the information is, that's where the people are. It's really easy to use that to learn a lot.
You know, Brandon, when people think about digital or sort of the creative side, even social media examples you were given, they, or see people that do it, they often wonder, like, where do you get inspiration? Like, how do you get these new ideas? You gave great examples on how you can get some of these new ideas. Where do you draw inspiration? Like, how, in addition to what you shared, like on social media, is there other things that happen in life, or is it just a natural thing, or is there anything else that you do that helps you, like, be inspired, creative?
I think it's very similar to what I had just mentioned. For me, like, I'm really working on developing myself as a leader. And in that sense, as a video producer, I've realized that there are people more creative than me. There are people who are a better cinematographer than me. There's people who are a better sound engineer than me. And instead of trying to be the best of one thing, I find that, like, bringing people together to work on something collectively is amazing, because that's where I draw the inspiration. That's where I learn things, is from people who are way better than me. And so that can look like a mentor. But at the same time, I think having a mentor is really important. But at the same time, I think that you can have mentors virtually even. So there's a few podcasts I listen to where they're not talking directly to me. This is a podcast, right? But I'm learning as if it was a mentor relationship. So I always have to be learning. And like I alluded to earlier, reading is not my forte. I read about 3 books a year if I'm diligent, which is something I'm definitely working on. But what I can do is what works for me. And that's leadership podcasts, or again, just receiving from the world based on some of those social media algorithms. And so if you're diligent with it, it doesn't have to become something that you're doom scrolling. It can become something very educational. And then I think everyone, even people who wouldn't consider themselves, you know, super creative, have an outlet. Like, they have something inside of them that's creative in their own various ways. So I think just finding some sort of outlet for that. And I notice for me, when I can completely disconnect and take my mind off of things professionally, I actually start to think again. And so this might sound contrary to everything I just said about the scrolling and the learning and the listening. I've noticed that the more I turn off all the entertainment things and I turn off the podcast, I stop reading the book, when I allow my mind to be kind of empty, then the creativity starts. And yeah. So without that, I think one thing I do, and I've realized this is what I'm working on this year, is I've realized I entertain myself to death. You know, I'll listen to a podcast on the way to work. And while I'm at work, I'm taking in content. And then while I'm at home, I'm watching something. But it's too much. Sometimes you need to really take time to have silence and then become creative. And that takes me back to, as a child on a long road trip, you're just staring out the window. And that's when some of the best thoughts come to you. Yeah. You know, it used to be when you're taking a shower, you think of the greatest thing. And nowadays, people are watching TV in their showers and they're on devices on a road trip. So I think it comes twofold. Like I said, I think you have to understand and be immersed in that world, but it can't take over because then the creativity and inspiration just has no time or effort or way to get to you.
Yeah, that's wise counsel. I noticed for me, along with the lines of what you're saying, was in church, because it oftentimes was the only time the entire week that I was just sitting there without a device and sort of listening, you know? And so not only was I getting some wisdom and stuff coming from the pulpit, but also it just was time that I wasn't distracted. And so I could hear better. Yeah. So one last question, Brandon. You know, people say, wow, you got a lot of kids and busy life. How do you recharge your batteries and remain fresh? So how do you stay balanced, if you will?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I'm definitely an introvert. So being at work is consistently talking to people. And then, you know, like I said, all the entertainment functions, anything that I do is just draining. And then I go home and then I have the kids. And it's great because I love being with them. That's one of the most important things to me. But it still is like draining the, you know, my introvert self. And then the kids go to bed and then I have to just take care of my marriage as well and have talks and conversations and connect with Nicole. And so I need time outside of all the family things, outside of work, to really just have some alone time. And again, that's where I can draw some inspiration, creativity. And for me, what it takes is a lot of just, I have to purposely do that. So for me, if I go on a vacation, the first 3 days, I'm still thinking about work. So sometimes for me, it's just being alone. I like to do this at least twice a year. I like to go get a Ashiatsu massage for 90 minutes, which helps to like physically take away the tension, but also like I can't really think of anything else. And then after that, I'll go to a movie by myself. And I always thought growing up, like, oh, going to the movie by yourself, what a crazy guy. But like, that's me now. I love to do it because I don't have anyone that I have to talk to about it. I just get to take it in. And it's funny for me, like almost every movie I get emotional at some point in. And I don't know what it is. It could be a Disney movie or an actual emotional movie or something like Oppenheimer, where it's not emotional, but it's just because it just re-inspires that passion every time. So for me, that's how I recharge and remain fresh. And I wish I could do that weekly or monthly, but if on a good year, it's 3 times a year.
Yeah. Well, your kids are pretty young. And as they get older, you might be able to get some more time. Well, Brandon, this has been fascinating. I mean, even though I know you, but still, I learned a lot of new things. And I really enjoyed the conversation about everything from the different types of playlists that you have, but also sort of digital and how we can apply that to healthcare, a little bit about the inspiration and creative process. Is there something we missed or something you'd like to double down on? I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, I'd love to ask your opinion and a question on something. Just as we've been talking about this, I think it's great to be reflecting on, like, I think one of your questions too is like life message and all that. So as I think about like life in general and what that looks like, I always come back to like, who will remember what I just did today in 50 years? A lot of times that helps me decide what's something to focus on, what's something to just let go of. For example, if I need to stay late at work and push something out, and, you know, 50 years from now, my boss will never remember that. But I think about the fact that like my children will. And so my thought for the podcast, but also curious from you, is I'm looking at now at my age, kind of turning to like, what does legacy and impact look like? And so I'm curious from someone who is, you know, at least 10 years older than me, yourself, what's important when it comes to healthcare, digital, or whatever have you, when it comes to legacy, impact, and how do you leave that, you know, the best, especially in a digital culture?
Yeah, well, ideally, it's something that's multi-generational, right? That's something that's going to last long after your death. But there's nothing wrong. You know, I was very careful on this type of question, because if your calling is to, let's just make it really simple, something most people can relate to, is raise a family and just provide for them, you know, they grow up to be good humans, And that's it. That's a fine calling. And you'll be remembered multi-generational. Oh, he was a great dad. She was a great grandmother, that sort of thing. Then that's awesome. But sometimes we're called to other things that might be even bigger. And, you know, if you include like the workplace and things like that. And so you have to be very, very intentional. And for me, it really is about, you know, from a work perspective, it's how do we leverage tech and digital to save people's lives? And I've known from the time that your oldest sister, Tally, was born, that was definitely my calling. So whenever work things come up, it's like, man, is that how we can save more people's lives and multi-generational? So that takes shape in many ways. And a lot of it's leadership and sharing. And so I do a lot of that. It's like training leaders so they could carry that forward and so forth. And on a personal level, it's trying to live a life. I've not been the best example. But it's something I aspire to live a life in such a way that others will say, you know, be interested in following God, you know, as like think about things, spiritual things. So those are the two things that I kind of ask myself and live by. It's like, is how's that going to help, you know, someone aspire in their career to make the right decisions to help save more lives? And again, on the personal side, it's like, you know, how can I live a life in such a way that others will be inspired to find God? So I don't do either super well, but that's kind of my driver. So that's what I use.
That's awesome. And I love that your listeners are probably very healthcare oriented people. And I do think that that's a really high calling, and that is helping to save people's lives. I know that you and your personal story have been saved with many health issues just by technology and doing that. So I would just encourage everyone that just to continue to stay on that path. And a lot of that has to do with following trends and seeing where people are and being relatable to again, the masses. And as the generations change, I think we need to never forget the clinicians that I know that are, well, I'll just say this. It frankly scares me to think about someone my kid's age becoming the doctor at some point. Just the way that some of them, the youth, are these days. And that's probably what you felt when I was younger. So I just would encourage, I think we have a great generation coming up, just to continue to spread that wealth. I think of some of my favorite healthcare providers that I know personally, they're getting to retirement age, and just to continue to pass that down and to be connected with this generation, because I think there's a huge legacy that's involved in that, and that everyone that's a listener here is learning about, and I think it's going to be really great for the future of our people.
Agreed. Well, Brandon, you're a great man, a great person. Thank you for being on Digital Voices. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your life experiences. And I'm proud of you. You're a great, great son.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That wraps up Digital Voices.
Thank you for listening to Digital Voices Podcast with Ed Marks. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe on your preferred streaming service and leave a rating and review. And most importantly, thanks again for listening.